Please pray this prayer after me. Lord, open my eyes to see your truth. Lord, open my ears to hear your truth. Lord, open my mind to receive your truth. Lord, open my heart to keep your truth. Let me be a doer of your word, not a hearer only. Let me bring forth much fruit to the praise and glory of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord, I will listen and obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I come against every spirit of distraction, every demonic spirit of tiredness, sleepiness, drowsiness. I bind those in Jesus' name, take victory in Jesus' name, every spirit of pain, every evil spirit that is trying to distract your people, I bind them in Jesus' name, take victory in Jesus' name. I ask you, Lord, that you will do great mighty things at this hour. And I pray, Lord, that you will cause your people, Lord, to draw closer, ever more closer to you, in Jesus' name. Let your word be given unhindered, and your word be received unhindered by your people. May the spirit of freedom, the spirit of truth prevail in our midst right now. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read from verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. The Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Praise be to God. Jesus Christ begins this verse with, therefore, I say to you, do not worry. Anytime you read the word therefore, that means there's something that is before this. What is he saying? Why should you not worry? Why? What about what he's talking about? You read the verses prior to that. Verse 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19. You keep on going upwards. You go all the way to verse 1. Jesus Christ is saying something very important. The whole thrust of his message over here is, your soul is worth more than your body. There is God's plan, and there is Satan's plan. God's plan can overtake the plan of darkness, provided we will to do the will of God. I also see that our plan can become His plan. If we yield ourselves the will of God Almighty. We also see that His plan will not automatically be fulfilled in our lives if we don't do what God has called us to do. When we look at the scriptures here, especially in chapter 6, you go over verse 1 and down to wherever the Lord brought us to, which was verse 25. You see, 25 or 24 verses prior to that talks about how we should live, how we should conduct ourselves. I really encourage you to go over those verses, because verse 25 stems from the first 24 verses. It's not a disconnected, disjointed verse there. It's a verse that comes from 1 to 24. That's when 25 culminates into something far important, where the summary of 1 to 24 is there, and God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, brings about the thrust of the whole message here, which is, take care of your soul. Take care of eternal life. Take care of your future. And verse 1 all the way to 24, we see, if you just look at the first few verses, he's actually talking about what we do in connection with our eternity. The two lives we see here, one is eternal life and one is life on earth, which is temporary life. Whatever you do is connected with the eternal life. However, you can completely forget about eternal life and live for the temporary life and get rewarded, get benefits, and do things that are just pertaining to this life and miss completely the most important life, which is the eternal life, where we are going to spend our eternity. So our prayers, our fastings, our giving, our living, everything is connected with our eternity. It's not just for this world, but it is actually for the world to come, where we're going to live forever and ever and ever. If we lose sight of that, then we've lost sight of everything. So God is speaking to His people, God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He spoke to the crowd that He spoke 2,000 years ago, and He's speaking the same thing to us today. We can either live our lives towards today, money, power, position, fame, name, title, entitlement, or we can truly live a life that is Christ-centered, Christ-glorifying, Christ-everything, with Jesus as the focus, and eternity stamped into our hearts. I pray this morning that God will stamp eternity into your hearts. It's the most important thing. Understand. Whatever you live, wherever you live, whatever you're doing, make sure it is linked together with where you're going to spend forever. See, if you can only grasp this eternal concept, the very same life you're living, you can live just for this world, or you can actually live for eternity. And knowing that you choose to live for eternity, you would have made the best choice. You would be making the best choice. But if you're not aware of it, then they're not going to get the most important, most valuable part of your life, which is living for eternity. See, it's like this. There's this example the Spirit of the Lord is bringing to us today. You can say you have a card that you can use to get your groceries, and the card is a card that has 5% money back. And you have a card that doesn't have 5% money back. You're buying the same groceries, but you have to use a card. Which card are you going to use? I would use the one that has 5% money back. Now you can have another card that would have 15% money back. You can have just a regular card that has no money back. You can have a card that has 5% money back. And you can have a card that has 15% money back. Which card are you going to use? Are you going to say, it doesn't matter which card, I'll just use any card? Or are you going to be intentional when you use your card? What I would do is use my 15% card that would give me 15% money back. It's the same transaction. I'm buying the same groceries, but I'm being intentional in using the right card. That's where diligence comes into play. You know why? I have faith that if I use this card today, by the end of the month, I'm going to have the points. And I can get that point and I can transfer that towards the mortgage. I can get that point and I can cash it out. Use it to pay a bill. You can do whatever you want to with that 15% back. But if I don't have faith in that card, I'm saying, who cares? I don't know if I'll get that 15% back, but I'll just use the regular card. I'm going to lose everything that I can get. I'm just using the card that I need just to get the groceries. I'm just thinking about today. But I'm really not making use of the benefit I can get for tomorrow, using the same thing. The only thing is, you're using a different card. God is speaking to your heart today. You can do the same activity. You can do the same thing. But you can actually use those very same things towards storing up for yourselves for your eternity. Whatever is of faith would count towards eternity. Whatever is not of faith is sin, the Bible says. And also, it's not going to produce any kind of fruit. It's only going to bring negative results, which is going to work counter towards what God has for you in this life and the life to come. So what is the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us this morning through Matthew 6? The Holy Spirit is speaking to us what Jesus Christ, using what Jesus Christ spoke 2,000 years ago to the crowd that he spoke to. He said, whatever you do, make sure you use your 15% card. Make sure you do it towards eternity. So in order to do it towards eternity, you use a different card, 15% card. That means you don't do it a certain way. You just need to do it according to what Jesus said. Then the same thing that you're doing is going to count towards your eternity. Imagine this. This is truth. This is the truth. Whatever you do your every moment can count towards eternity. You can either just waste it away, or you can be the wise steward that would use everything that God has given, your time, your health, your thought life, your actions, you're going out and you're coming in, everything towards where you're going to live forever and ever. And not just be earthly minded and living for the now. You can live a life of purity. You can live a life of doing good deeds to others, but you can do all those things for this world and completely have no reward in heaven. Why? Because you're not intentional. So Jesus says over here in the beginning, if you want to have reward in heaven, do it a certain way. So I would encourage you to read Matthew 6. You want to have eternal treasures in heaven, do it a certain way. That means don't do it in front of men in order to get your reward. You would have already gotten the reward in that case. But if you do it secretly, then your heavenly Father will reward you. You have rewards in heaven and also on earth. And he's then talking about prayer and fasting. He's connecting that with eternity. He's saying, you want to have eternal rewards? Then don't make a scene on the outside, but hide yourself. Let God see your heart. Let God see your true prayer life. Let God see what you're truly talking to him about. Let God see your true worship. Don't make a scene. So one thing that God connects towards eternity, he says that whatever you do will count towards eternity, is your doing. Your doing is the same thing. But the motive and how you do it will determine whether it's going to count towards eternity or not. Whether you're going to be rewarded by the Father in heaven now and in the future, or you're just going to be rewarded by the earthly people that you see on earth. And it's over. Which card are you going to use? Are you going to use the card that has no rewards points, or you're going to use the card that has 15% reward, or you're going to just choose 5 and choose something in between? I would go with the 15% rewards points card. Whatever Jesus says, just follow it 100%. You'll be blessed in this life and in the life to come. That your moments and your days will be spent towards where you're going to live forever and ever and ever. So he talks about prayers, how you have to pray. And he talks about giving, how you have to give. And then he talks about how important it is for the kingdom of heaven to invade our earthly realm in order for God's blueprint for our lives to be accomplished on earth. God's blueprint for our lives, every time it's being accomplished, that means every part of that blueprint is being accomplished, then it is going to bring us eternal rewards. God is going to satisfy us on earth, and it's going to carry over to our eternal life. And within that, God talks about unforgiveness, forgiveness. And he says that don't even think you will make it if you have unforgiveness in your heart. Don't even think I will hear you if you have unforgiveness in your heart. So he's actually talking about what will disqualify you if you do certain things. It'll disqualify you. Or if you don't do certain things, it will disqualify you. But you use it the right way. See, when you swipe your Visa card or your MasterCard, you put that chip in, or you swipe the part where you have the strip, where you swipe it, exactly according to that thick line that you see, the magnetic strip. You can say, I can do it anyway. This is my 15% points reward card, so I'm going to flip it and I'm going to use it the other way. It will not work. Whatever is given to us will only work as long as you follow the rules. Go by the procedure that is given. It'll work perfectly well. How many times have we done that? Turn around and maybe look at something, or turn around and look at your child, or maybe looking at what the cashier just rang, not pay attention and put your card into that slot the other way, only to pull out and fix it. Remember, whatever you're doing, do it according to what God has prescribed, the way you should do it. Then it is going to work perfectly fine. It's going to count towards eternity. The scriptures, the word of God, is your guidebook and your life book. When you abide by it, you're going to reap unimaginable, uncontainable rewards from the King of Glory. So do it God's way. Then what is he talking about? If you keep scrolling or keep reading further, he talks about how to conduct yourself while fasting. Not only fasting is necessary, but how will you fast? God talks about that. And he says you need to do it secretly. If you do it secretly, then your reward is going to be from God. He will reward you. Anytime God rewards, the reward is connected to this world and in the world to come. He's from above. And God also talks about here, about our giving. The emphasis, he's saying, don't really sweat too much for the things of this world. Let your focus be your eternal life. Focus be where you're going to be. So he's talking about where you're going to lay your treasures, like he spoke to the rich young ruler. This is how you're going to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. How? By denying yourself, picking up your cross and following Jesus Christ. He told the rich young ruler, how will you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven? He said, give up everything you have and follow me. Jesus gave him a very specific prescription that was for that man. Go sell everything you have and follow me. He didn't tell that for Peter. He didn't tell that for Matthew. Each person, the prescription is very unique according to their lifestyle, the desires of their heart. But one thing is in common here. It is stop what you're doing and start following me. Stop doing your own thing and start following me. See, you cannot follow Jesus Christ if you are following the desires of your own heart. Doing your own thing. Stop doing your own will if you want to start doing God's will. So if you look at the call of God, whether it's for the rich young ruler or Peter, Matthew, Judas, whoever it is, he said the very same words, follow me. Peter, follow me. Matthew, follow me. Very powerful words, isn't it? Follow me. Follow who? Follow Jesus. What Jesus? Follow Jesus. Both the words are very important. The word follow is very important. And following Jesus Christ is very important. It's not about just standing at a far distant place and taking just a look at Jesus. No, he's saying, follow me. Wherever I'm going, follow me. Wherever I stop, follow me. Whatever I do, follow me. So he gave those two words to all these people. Some of them did, and some did not. But the ones who did got for themselves treasures in heaven. So what Jesus says over here, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We see how one can lay up for themselves treasures in heaven. Jesus told the rich young ruler that. If your heart is into something and it is keeping you from following Christ, give it up, so that you can get treasures in heaven. Give it up and follow Christ. It's not just give it up. Give it up and follow Christ. So for this man, it was his riches. For Simon Peter, it was his boat and his nets and his business. You cannot be a fisherman and be where Jesus is at the same time. So they needed to stop what they were doing in order to start what God wanted them to do. The Holy Spirit is speaking to their hearts today. God is not telling you to quit your job. But wherever you are, you need to stop doing that which is contrary to the will of God and start doing what God has called you to do. Very important. Laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust does not destroy, where thieves cannot break in and steal. Jesus says, focus on that. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. God is saying, focus on eternal life, and whatever you're doing, make sure it counts towards eternity. And your activities during the day will actually show where your treasure is. That means whatever you're doing is going to actually show whether you're laying up for yourself treasures in heaven or not. Whether you're doing things towards this earthly realm or doing things towards the heavenly realm. So laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven means we are storing up for ourselves treasures for eternity. Wherever you're going to stay, we're all going to go to heaven. That's our focus, and that's why we're all here. But we need to have treasures in heaven. Understand this. Nobody should go to heaven and have an empty space there. You can go to heaven and have an empty space there. You can go to heaven and have a wealth stored up for you because of what you did on earth. Always understand, we only have a short time to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Very short time. Even if we have 80 years to live, or 100 years to live, or 120 years to live, very short. Just think about your life. How did the first 25 years, 30 years, 40 years, 45 years, 50 years, 60 years, 65 years, how did it just go so fast? And how many years left on earth? Only God knows. We don't know. We all know our start date because we're born, we're here. But no one knows our end date. Only God knows. But a wise man, a wise woman will be smart enough to think about eternity and work towards that while they have time on this side. We don't want to miss out on the most important thing while we are here, because this is our opportunity to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. How can you lay up for yourself treasures in heaven? All the verses that you read before actually shows how you can do that. Your giving, your fasting, your prayer, your serving God, everything goes into your future if you do it with a pure motive. If you do it in a manner that only God sees, and not for applause that would come from man, and not for people in the world to think that, oh, they're super spiritual, oh, you know, what a good brother, what a good sister, what a good child. That testimony will automatically come if we please God and not please man. However, many times people lose focus. They try to live a life so that they can be appreciated by man. I spoke on this a few days ago through the Holy Spirit, that when we have favor with God, automatically God will give us favor with man. See, if your light is shining for Jesus, automatically that light will become useful for all those who are in the dark. So that light will bring glory to God. Others will see that light, and they will bring glory to God. That's a byproduct, but that's not our main focus. Our main focus is to shine for Him. Our main focus is to hear Him say, well done. So our motive determines whether we are laying up treasures for ourselves, where moth and rust are not going to take away. Now, something is very important, which is faith. If we have faith in eternal life, then we are going to be working towards eternity. If we don't have faith in eternal life, then we are not going to be working towards eternity. I don't care what kind of a Christian you may be. You may say, I believe in heaven, I believe in hell, but your action really determines whether you really believe in heaven, whether you really believe in hell. If you really believe in heaven, if you really believe that there is such a thing called life after death, and that is a life that I will be living forever and ever and ever, and my actions on earth now during this short pilgrimage is going to determine where I'm going to be and how wealthy am I going to be, I'm going to become smart. That smartness comes from knowing the truth, knowledge of God, fear of the Lord. May God speak to our hearts this morning. We may understand everything that God is speaking to us. And that brings us to the next section, verse 22 and 23. God is talking about the importance of our vision. Our physical vision is the gateway to our spiritual vision. If the physical vision is polluted, your spiritual vision will become darkness, and you will lose sight of eternity. Then Jesus says, we cannot serve two masters. Very, very important. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and money. So you cannot live for this present world and live for eternity. See, it goes like this. If you live for eternity, you will live in this present world. But if you live for this present world, you will be living for this present world, but you will lose eternity. Everything that you're doing, even as a Christian, if your focus is off, if you're just living for this world, oh, I have to go to work because I have to pay my bills. Oh, I have to put my children in the right school because I have to see which is easier for me, which is good for them. I got to see where I live based on what people would say. There's nothing wrong with that, but there's something seriously wrong with that at the same time. There's nothing sinful about it, yet there's something sinful about it. Because the focus is on this present world, even though it's not about drinking, doing drugs, and womanizing. It is still a life that is focused on the things of this world, which completely loses sight of where you're going. Imagine your life is over. You just lived for this present world. But you lived as a Christian, but you didn't do anything wrong. But you did not lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You just lived for this present world. When you enter in to heaven, you have a big empty space with nothing stored up for yourself. Because whatever you might have done, everything you would have done, if you'd have done, for people to see, with that kind of a motive, then everything is gone. Because people saw on earth, and that was your reward. It's over. They all said, great job, great job, great job, and that was it. With those great jobs, we lost the treasure that we should have gotten in heaven. Because we did certain things in order to hear that great job from people. However, when you do it for God to see, and your motive is not for people to see and appreciate, but for God and God alone to see, God will see it, God will acknowledge that, and God will cause your light to shine where people will be blessed by it. See, the focus is God. So a person who lives a life that is Christ-centered 24/7, where their self is not seen, where they're not living for people's applause, where they're not living just for this world, but their whole mindset is, my Jesus, I want to live for you. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. It's now. This is the life that I can show Christ how much I love him. This is the life I can live for eternity. This is the life God has given to me, this one life. I can praise him with everything that is within me. This is the life, one life, where I can humble myself as much as possible. Who humble themselves on earth will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So position, power, title, acknowledgement, and how people need to treat us and all those things will actually make us the smallest person in heaven if we make it there. But for those who would say, Lord, I don't want any of those things. I'll just be hidden in you. And you be seen in and through me. That means you're the biggest person. I want to be just hidden in you. And we live for him 24/7. We'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, you have the least in the kingdom of heaven. You have the in-betweens and you have the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It's our choice. Whatever we choose on earth, on this side, is going to determine what you're going to be later. Where you're going to live forever and ever. How foolish it would be if we focus on this life, where we say, I'm going to try this, try that, try that, and think about this world and live for this world and totally lose sight of where we're going, where we're going to be forever and ever. So understand this. Whatever you're doing, whether it's education, whether it's your workplace, whether it's taking care of the children, whether it's cooking, cleaning, all of those things can be done towards eternity. You can do the grocery shopping, but what card are you using? Which one? You're going to use the ones with no points, or you're going to use the ones with 5% or 15%? You choose. While you're doing what you're doing, if you do it the way God has told you to from the scriptures, which is do it with a pure motive and do it unto the Lord with faith in your heart, you're using your 15% points. If you do it towards getting acknowledgement from men, then you're going to use a card with 0 points you've received. Your groceries that you usually get, and that's about it. Nothing is stored up for you for later. If you do half for man to see and half for God to see, you use your 5% card. Your points are going to be there, but it's going to be less. In whichever area you wanted to hide yourself in Christ and let Christ be seen and heard, and those are the areas you will get your rewards. The other areas, you won't have anything. Choose what you want today, because you can do the very same thing, but you can lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. But whatever you do, remember, it has to be detached from the things of this world. That means your heart shouldn't be set on this world. But while you're working, be like Abraham. He was a very rich man. God blessed him. But his heart was not on the riches. He decided to follow God the day God came and called him. He became a stranger and a pilgrim. Wherever he went, he was rich. But he was never settled in one place, because God called him to go to a place that God said he would show. There was a man of faith. His name is inscribed in the holy book. Not in one place, in many places. Jesus talks about him so many times. Imagine what a high and lofty privilege that is. Because of what he did during the short time he had while he was on earth. We have the same privilege too. Whether we're going to spend the remaining days of our lives intentionally or unintentionally is our choice. God is speaking to our hearts this morning. However you're going to live, you can live a Christian life, so to speak, where you can read your Bible, go to church, pay a tithe and offering, and not do anything, any presumptuous sin, and just go to heaven. You have some rewards, definitely. However, the grand reward that you could have received, you'd have missed it all together. If you didn't think about every activity that you do, am I doing it towards eternity? Teach your children that way. We do. Pastor Pradeep and I have taught our children, and that's how they function. We need to practice that ourselves and teach our children that too. You really love your kids, focus on their soul first, their body next. It's very important. Let them not live like the children of this world who lived during the times of Noah. They just ate, they played, and they lived for this present world. And before they knew, the flood came. All of them got wiped away. Don't live for this current world. Live for Jesus, and you will really live well in this present world. And live well in the world to come. So, whatever Jesus talks about in Matthew 6 has a very strong connection to where we're going to go. And he's saying, choose one of the two. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve money? Do you want to be a hero in this world or you want to be a hero in the world to come? Choose which path you want. Now, those who follow Jesus Christ, those who follow the commandments of God diligently, by default, according to the promise of God, they will have riches, honor, and life. So a smart person will choose that way. But those who keep on looking at the things of this world will not only lose eternal rewards, but will achieve something, but not God's great plan for their lives. With all the hard work and sweating and frustration and everything, and they can become wealthy to an extent, but not the way God has intended. Where the riches he gives, he adds no sorrow with it. May God speak to our hearts this morning. Having said all of this, Jesus says, therefore, I say to you, verse 25, do not worry about your life. What is he talking about here? Don't put too much emphasis on the things that pertain to this world. Don't worry about what you will eat, what you will drink, what you'll put on. But focus on the things of God, and he will take care of what you need for this world. See, God never said, oh, you focus on my things, and you're going to be lacking on this side of eternity, but when you come there, you will have everything full. No, that's not what God said. That's not what God said for his people. No. He promises to give us good life in this world and the best life after we're done here. If we put Jesus first, make him our priority, make him our chief goal, make him our only goal. Those are the ones who will shine on the side of eternity and shine forever in the world to come. So Jesus says, look at all these things I've prescribed. Read Matthew 6. And if you're really serious about where you're going to go, follow what it says. He's saying, I've told you all these things, so don't focus on the things of this world. Don't worry about today, what I need here. Don't worry about those things. If you just make your priorities straight, seek God and his kingdom first, Jesus says, everything you need for this world shall be given by God. But you know what? You've gained it all. Not only did you get your rosaries, but you got your 15%. May God help your focus to be right, your motive to be pure. Be like a little child at heart. Be like a little child at heart, believing every word that God said. See, that's the difference between the rich man and the fisherman, the tax collector, and all the men who left everything and followed Jesus. The moment Jesus said, follow me, like little children, they just dropped everything and followed him in amazement, in pure amazement at this man who was so different. There's something about his voice. There's something about the call itself, come follow me. Like little children, dropped everything. And when little kids play, when you call them, look, come, mommy's going to show you something, or daddy's going to show you something. I have something for you. All of a sudden, you see them, no matter what they're doing, they'll just drop everything and follow. That's a little child. But if the child doesn't have too much confidence in the parent, he'll ask 100 questions. What is that? Before the child could even get up from his seat, he'll try to act like what he's doing is more important. You let me know what it is, then I'll decide whether I'll get up and come or not. Those are the ones who will miss out on everything that God has, because God is not going to cater to our tantruming. He's not going to cater to our unbelief. He's looking for people who will be little children. Like little children who would say, Lord, if you say, come follow me, I'm going to just get up and I'm going to just run after you. If you say, Lord, if you would tell me, do this, then I will do this. Those are the ones who would receive everything that God has for them. God is speaking to your hearts this morning. Whatever you're doing, gear it towards where you're going to go to. Don't just live for this world. If we live for this world, have no hope in the future then. We don't believe in the gospel. If we live like the heathen, who has no faith in the future, then there's no difference between you and those who don't believe in God. Because we as Christians, as children of God, believe that Jesus died for us and he rose again for us, and just as he rose again, we too shall rise again. Just like how he lives forevermore, by having faith in him, active faith, which equals obeying his word, we too will live with him forevermore. But God in his mercy has revealed to us that we determine the quality of life in heaven that we would live based on how are you going to live on earth? Are you going to trust him 100%? Are you going to focus on following Jesus and making him your chief priority and your only priority? Or are you going to be like the heathen whose mind is set on the things of this world and God becomes an afterthought or a side issue? Or someone who would come to just bless what you're doing. You have to answer that question sincerely. And take a good look at how you're living your life. Your children will take after you. Those around you will be heavily influenced by you. That's how much capacity you have. God has made us to have a certain level of influence wherever we go. We can use that towards eternity, or we can turn people away from the most important thing, by our own actions, which would nullify the word of God. May the Spirit of the Lord speak to your hearts this morning and spark the fire that is needed in your soul. Light your lamps in this area. Enlighten your minds towards the deeper things of God, that you may not lose sight of the most important thing that God has for you, which is the opportunity that you have. Only opportunity that you have. Only opportunity that I have. We've been given this brief moment on earth where we can choose the quality of life, where we can choose the blessings pertaining to eternal life by the way we choose to live today. Live by faith in God. If you have true faith, your focus is going to be living for Jesus. If you have true faith that Jesus is really alive, then every word that he has spoken would really matter to you. And you would want to live according to what he has spoken. If we don't have faith, then we are going to be short-sighted. If we partially believe, then we are going to live a partial Christian life with half the time church and half the time world. But if your life revolves around the kingdom of God and everything pertaining to your life revolves around God, everything will be blessed. Your life will be like Abraham's life, Isaac's life, Jacob's life, Job's life, full of prosperity, which comes from having God as your everything. May you align yourself with the Word of God this morning. Refocus if refocusing is needed, or focus if the focus is necessary, by focusing on Jesus Christ, His Word. Make Him your everything. The Lord never said, don't eat, no, don't drink water, don't buy good clothes, don't live in a home. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, these things are all necessary. God knows about it. Do you know what? Don't focus on these things. Focus on following the Lord Jesus Christ with everything that is within you. He will give you everything you need. And it's time. And He will give you the best of everything that He would want to give to His children. The earthly Father knows how to give good gifts to His children. How much more the Heavenly Father gives the best things to His people. How many times have we shortchanged ourselves, have done ourselves a disservice, our children a disservice, by focusing on the things of this world? May God quicken your hearts this morning to put first things first. Place Jesus where He rightfully belongs in your life. Let your heart never be divided. Let it be loyal to the King of Heaven. Let your mind be focused on one thing that matters the most, which is the King of Heaven. Let Jesus be everything. Don't have Jesus seated in a sofa in a living room. And just come and say, hello, Jesus. I'm so glad you came to my home. You can stay there. Meanwhile, I'll go and do other things. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' home, expecting for people to sit at His feet, expecting to give to them something that no one can take away. Mary went and got that. May God turn you into such a person. Mary had a home, she had to eat too. She had to live too. But she got something that would never be taken away by making Jesus her main priority. God took care of everything that pertains to her. God has placed us in this world. We all need to eat. We all need to have clothes. We all need to have shelter. We all need to provide for our children. We all need education. We all need to go to work. Depending on where God has placed you, these things will be applicable according to where we are. However, this is not our main focus. This should not be our main focus. He has needs, our needs. But the Heavenly Father already said, I know all of them. And I'll supply all your needs according to my riches and glory, God says. So why? Why go after those things when he said that, you know what? That's the provision that comes from my hands. That'll automatically be given to you. Why run after something that's already there? It's like when the Father has $1 million in your bank. You're still saying, oh, you know what? I know he has, instead of going to the ATM and withdrawing or using your bank card to make the purchases you need, you're still going for a $10 job, hourly rate, and running, and running, and running. Because, oh, I need money, I need money, I need money. That's how it is, many times. Compared to what God has in store for us, when we seek after the things of this world, we're going like somebody who goes for the minimum wages, waste our time, waste our energy, get into frustration. And God has exceeding riches in store for his people. Those who would put their trust in him. Those who would rest in his finished work. Those who would make him their priority. Don't worry about this life. Don't make that your main thing and waste your time. Seek God and his kingdom first. Make Jesus your everything. Life is too short. Before we know, it'll be over. My husband is not going to come with me. My children are not going to come with me. Everybody's not going to be in the same place. It's very important for me to focus on Jesus. Yes, family is a blessing that God has given. It is something that God has given to me as a blessing on this side of eternity, where I channel all those blessings towards pursuing Jesus Christ. That means, along with my spouse and children, we run towards the prize of the high call that God has laid before us. Laying aside every weight and everything that will try to pull us down, we make the choice to push those down and focus on Jesus and pursue him. May that be your focus. Because when my life on earth is over, I will be called alone to go to be with God. But if I have Jesus over here and I walked with him all the days of my life, then I'll be so happy to go, because my journey is going to just continue only into a greater realm. Only to be with God, really, right there, up close. Only to be in a place where I really stored up during the short life I had on earth. What I do for my spouse, what I do for my children, by leading them all to Jesus Christ. And for all those God will bring before me, it is all going towards eternity. So never think that your investment in the lives of your children is of no use. And more than taking them to play or taking them to Disney World or taking them to wherever it is, having them sit with you at the feet of Jesus and teaching them the Word of God is the most important thing. Going places is a good thing, but it's not the main thing. If we make going to places not the focus, but as you go to different places, make Jesus the focus. While you drive, speak about Jesus. While they play, talk about Jesus. Whatever they're doing, if you incorporate Jesus in everything, then you're making a wise choice for your children and teaching them to choose wisely. And when you care for their soul, you will do these things, knowing that whatever you do with them and whatever they do with you is going to count towards their eternity. May the Spirit of the Lord embed these words that have come from the Holy Spirit deep into your spirit. God never said, oh, don't go to the store. No. But let Jesus be a focus while you go. He never said, don't eat. When you eat, let it be to the glory of God. Do with faith. The Lord never said, don't have your children play. No. Make sure whatever they play with is godly. Make sure as they play, you're bringing God into the picture, even during their playtime. Make sure you make Christ your priority. The family that God has given to you a priority within Christ so that you don't lose your spouse or your kids to the arrows of Satan. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but we wrestle with the forces of darkness, wicked forces of darkness in the heavenly realm. If we lose sight of that, we've lost sight of everything. God never said, don't go to work, just stay home and read the Bible. No. While you go to work, make sure, whatever you do, that you bring Jesus in there with you. Whatever you do, let it bring glory to God. Don't go there to exalt yourself, but exalt Jesus Christ. Let your associations be pure and holy. Because anything that is corrupt is not only not going to bring glory to God, but it will bring a curse on yourself. And whatever you do is ultimately not going to prosper, no matter how hard you try. End is going to be misery. God is showing a way to live successfully in this world, with a focus on the kingdom of God and His righteousness, obeying God in everything. Whatever we do, the Bible says, whether you eat or drink, do it unto the glory of God. Bring God into the picture. Let God be everything. And you're going to see God multiply your resources. You're going to see God multiply your skills. You're going to see God multiply your peace. You're going to see God multiply everything God has given, because that's the promise He has given. The peace of your children shall be multiplied. The peace in your home shall be multiplied when you do it 100% God's way. I want to emphasize that 100% God's way. May God help us this morning to follow what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Golden chapter. It's a golden chapter that talks about the most important thing, which is where we're going to go and how to prepare for that. If we can live this life in a manner that we prepare ourselves for tomorrow while we live here, that'd be the smartest investment one can make. Because this time here, we're passing by, passing through, temporary, but given by God to enjoy, to be happy, to be a blessing above everything, to be His representative on earth, to be His ambassadors on earth. God, help us to refocus, realign, examine your purpose. Do you have a purpose for your life? Do you realize Jesus calling you? Do you realize Christ saying, come follow me? It's the first step in Christianity, discipleship. To be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You realize the call of God on your life. Come follow me. you haven't realized, you need to realize today. If you have realized, what is your response? How have you responded to the call of Christ? Are you like the rich young ruler? Or are you like the disciples of Jesus, who just saw him, heard him, and in great amazement, left everything and just followed him? Because they got a glimpse of who he is, who he was, and who he would be. The rich man was so drowned in his riches, he lost sight of who Jesus was and who Jesus was going to be for him. And whatever offer that Jesus gave, which was the most glorious offer for this life and in the life to come, he couldn't see the glory of it. His vision was so dull. His focus was so narrow. His heart was set on the things of this world. He went away sorrowful instead of being happy, saying that, oh God, you're calling me to follow you. Treasures in heaven. I will come, Lord. I'm just going to go do what you said. I'm going to come running after you, because not everyone in that multitude were given that lofty call, come follow me. But he was sorrowful at the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went away sorrowful. What a tragedy. May that never happen to any one of you. When God tells you to do something, don't be sorrowful. Your heart is in the wrong place if you're sorrowful, if God has called you to do something. That'll be an unwise heart, a foolish heart, narrow-minded heart that is attached to the things of the world, that will not want to see the grand purpose of God. And God says, this morning, my son, my daughter, I've laid it all before you. Everything is black and white in Matthew 6. Choose life. Determine how you're going to live today, because it's going to determine your tomorrow. Blessings on this side and blessings on the other side is guaranteed for God's people who would put God first and make God everything, which is living a life of total surrender, which is a life of total obedience, which is a life of total faith in the one who gave himself for us. Shall we pray? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you, Lord, for giving us this time. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. I know you've spoken, precious Lord. I know your voice is so crystal clear. Can I get any clearer than this? I pray that not a single person be like that rich young ruler who heard everything that Jesus said, went away sorrowful. What a tragedy. Or how he would have regretted once his life on earth was over. How he would have regretted how joyful it would have been for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, who made that wise choice that followed him. Oh, how they would have rejoiced. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. They had that joy on this side of eternity. The greatest joy on the other side. So I pray, help your people, Lord, to see what you're seeing. Hear what you're saying. And follow you. Leave everything and follow you. Everything that is hindering their walk with you. Everything that you have told them to leave behind. Help them to leave behind whatever we're leaving. They're worthless things. That's why you're telling us to leave. Whatever is not good for us, you will tell us to discard. whatever you're telling us to pursue is something far glorious that we have no knowledge of. So I pray, help your people, Lord, to simply learn to trust and obey. Whatever you're leading, whatever you're speaking, our job is to follow. So I pray that you bless your people. Bless every brother, every sister, every child who's on the call. Bless this family of God, for we are yours. We're here because we are yours. So I pray, Lord, that you'll cause every single person who is here to refocus. Let them never lose sight of this word that you've given, Lord, because this word is so important for every single day till the day we die. May this word stick to their bones, my Father. May it stick to their spirits, O Lord. Inscribe it on the tablets of their hearts. Let it go into their neurons, into their nucleus, into their DNA, and their bloodstream. Father, may Jesus be found everywhere. Lord, and may a passion that comes from God fill their hearts right now. May the passion of Christ to become theirs, O Lord, this morning. Let no one live aimlessly. Let no one live for this world. But may they live for you and you alone. O Lord, I pray for every single one to understand that God loves them. The purpose of God is to prosper them beyond their imagination, beyond what their little minds, what our little minds could conceive. Here's something far greater, Lord. So I pray that you bless your people with this awareness, that they may give themselves totally, totally to the call of God. We have called them with, come follow me. I pray that you bless your people this morning with your peace, with your joy, with your hope. It can never fade away when we pursue you. And I pray that you will cause their hearts, O Lord, to ever cling to you, cling to the Savior, cling to the cross of Jesus Christ, cling to the life that comes from the cross of Jesus Christ, that they may truly live. Only those who truly follow Jesus faithfully are truly living. They're truly alive. Alive to Christ and dead to this world. The world dead to us, and we alive to Christ. I pray a blessing upon your people, Lord, as you serve, standing before the Almighty God, in the presence of God, before the throne of God, according to the power and authority given to me by the Almighty God. I bless your people, Lord, this morning, with this blessing, my Father, that they may cling to you, make you their everything. May Jesus become their life, not part of their life, but their life. That you be the all in all. And I pray this blessing upon them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.